Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, Common Sense Intelligent Advice for Conservative Investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, we're getting into the home stretch of our political profiles, and today we've got two more candidates, both looking for your support. Number one is Tom Nichols. He's a Republican candidate for State Senate seat number 16. And then coming up in the second half of the show, Mary Gail Douglas, another GOP candidate, and she's looking for your vote for State Senate seat number 17. So here we are. Tom Nichols, I haven't seen you, gosh, what's it been, a couple of years, few years?
At least.
So tell everybody a little bit about Tom Nichols.
Okay, thanks, Manning. Like I say, I'm straight shooting Tom Nichols, and I'm running for this office. I believe that people are eager for someone with backbone to run for public service. I'm talking about somebody that's not afraid to stand up and fight for the people and represent the people. And I think we've all had enough of people that come along and tell us what we want to hear just long enough to get elected, and then they forget about the people that elected them to begin with. Well, none of that's me. I'm a God-fearing, Trump-loving, politically incorrect conservative.
Politically incorrect.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, tell everybody a little bit about your background. Besides your interest in politics, what have you done over the years to be able to do this?
Okay, thanks. I think I was raised in this area. I think that is something unique to me, and I think that's important because I'm familiar with the culture of this area. I graduated from Rock Hill High School in 1972, then I graduated from University of South Carolina in 1977. The most important thing, in my opinion, not just for me, but for any candidate there is that the fuel I run on is my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm convinced, as far as I'm concerned, that's the most important thing about any candidate. Anytime I'm a voter, that's what I want to know. I want to know where a person's getting their guidance from, and I can promise you I start out every day reading my Bible and in prayer, and I'll continue to do that. I hope that every decision I make will be made with godly guidance.
Now, what have you done to put food on the table professionally?
Okay. And that's the other thing, that we think I'm very qualified for this office because I am a businessman. I started a company from scratch, and I grew it to 47 employees before I sold it to do local mission work. And that is what the economy runs on in South Carolina, small businesses. So I have the business experience and the insight into this small business through the development stage. And like I say, that's what the economy runs on here. And my experience there, it will be a great asset to the legislature. And also the other side of that, I told you I sold my business in 2006, so that I do have the time that I can allot to serving in the state senate, and it is a full-time job. I've found that it actually is every bit of a full-time job, and I'm the only candidate in this race that doesn't already have at least one full-time job, so I think that that's something important, that I do have time to devote to serving in this office.
So you sold your business in 2006. What have you been doing the last 14 years?
Well, I sold
getting ready for this campaign?
Well, no. I sold it to do local mission work. So what okay. I had to do. Any of you that are in business probably knows that it's just a totally time-consuming operation. And I've always had a love for Jesus, but I was not doing anything at all except occupying a seat in the church. And my business blessed me. I didn't need finances anymore, so I had an opportunity to go ahead and sell the business, and I did. I started up a ministry, and I did work in that, and I did that for, and I've been involved in several different ministry groups, and then I have recently just slightly ventured back out into the business world. I'm a partner in a company called Red Oak Land and Timber, but it's not really a company. We don't have any employees. It's just two of us, so it's more or less just something for fun and for business, business secondarily and fun primarily.
Help you pay for the political campaign.
I guess. not completely.
Okay, so now why? You ran for a political office a few years ago, and you were not successful, and you're back at it again. So why do you want to do this? What's driving you to do this?
Okay, thanks. That's a good question. As I was, like I say, I read my Bible every day, and as I was reading it, I was thinking about the story of the Good Samaritan, where the guy was laying over in the ditch, crippled, and everybody just kept walking by. And that's where South Carolina is right now. This state and this community that's been so good to me, it needs help. We're not healthy right now, so it was on my mind that I did want to do something, you know, to help our state and our community. And through what you were mentioning, I did several years back when Representative Norman decided to go to Washington. He announced they had a special campaign, and I didn't really have time to campaign for that office, but I did sign up for it, and I did very, very good at it. I only lost by less than 200 votes, so that got the attention of some people, that a real conservative group in Columbia. So they came down and recruited me to run for this office. So that kind of tailspinned in with it being on my heart already that I wanted to take the Good Samaritan's role and try to help the state and community that have been so good to me.
All right. So assuming that you are successful in your election efforts, what would you say are the top one, two, three things that you want to work on?
Okay. And there's kind of different categories of that, too. Some of them that I will be able to accomplish for them. One of them is I can defend our Second Amendment, and I will defend it very vigorously. And if you'll allow me, Manning, I just want to elaborate that on just a minute, because as I've gone through and talking to people, people don't understand what the Second Amendment is. I've had people that thought that was something to make provisions for people to go hunting, but it has nothing to do with that. It's all about being able to defend ourselves. And why that is so important in today's society is that in this election cycle we're in right now, we almost had a socialist, a member of the Socialist Party, to get the Democratic nomination. He probably would have gotten it if it would have gone on to a popular vote, but they crowded him out and took care of him, got rid of him. But if you took a survey today and asked people what they think about socialism, they're fairly warm to it in the United States, or at least they're willing to talk to you about it. In the past, you'd be run out of town. So the point I want to make to you, it's dangerous. And the question I want to ask for people, and I'm going to pause for a second and let you answer this for me. Do you know what the difference is between socialism and communism?
Not a whole lot of difference.
The difference is that in communism, the communists have guns and the people do not. They have no way of defending themselves. So if we ever cross that bridge to socialism, the only thing keeping us from being a totally communist country is the Second Amendment. So we need to protect that Second Amendment vigorously.
All right, so the Second Amendment and defending the Second Amendment is high on your list. I'm not sure here in South Carolina that that's going to be a tough sell, because we certainly are a very conservative state, and I haven't heard of anybody trying to water down the, of course, from a, we're talking about the Second Amendment, which is part of our Constitution, our nation's Constitution, and efforts to water it down, yeah, there have been plenty of them, but nobody's succeeded. And I hear what you're saying. What else you want to work on?
But they have made some infringements on it right here in South Carolina. We've got red flag laws that's passed in South Carolina, and there's legislation in the legislature now to try to restrict our Second Amendment. But that isn't the other thing that I'm real confident I can do something about is passing life legislation. We've got a bill now, the heartbeat bill, that has passed the House of Representatives. It's in the Senate, but they refuse to pass it. I find that just totally inexcusable. We have the numbers to pass it in the Senate, but they just refuse to do that. And I just believe that I can encourage the Republican senators to vote with the Republican Party platform and deliver this life legislation to you all.
Yeah, this is, what do they call it, the heartbeat legislation? When you can hear a heartbeat, that the fetus is protected.
That's right.
Basically. Yes, I'm with you. I do not understand where this country's going when it comes to this not protecting the unborn child. I mean, I'm just appalled. The fact that we have got some presidential candidates that are supporting, what do they call this? I can't, late-term abortion. where to the point where a child could be born and put on the sideline while the mother decides whether to let the child live or not? I mean, where are we going as a world? I don't get that at all. That's crazy. All right.
You and I agree 100%. It's beyond comprehension what's going on there.
All right. What else is on your list?
My big deal, Manning, is our education system. The education system is foundational to everything, and it's a very complex situation, but it's time for us to stop studying what's wrong with our education system and get down to the work of fixing it. And I'm here to tell you that that's got to include school choice. We've got to take the decision-making out of the hands of the unelected bureaucrats and put it into the hands of the parents and teachers. And notice I said teachers. I want to include the teachers. They know what's going on in their classroom. They know what needs to be done to come up with a good school system. So we want the teachers to have a big say-so in designing what goes on in the schools. And we want the parents to be able to send their children to an education system that will get them educated. That's very, very important for the children. They need to be able to reach their potential. They need to be able to get an education that paves the way for them. And it's equally as important to us as a society. We've got to have an educated citizenry. So we've got to do something about our education system, which is not getting the job done right now.
So do you have any specific recommendations on that topic? I mean, yes, we've got to fix it. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with it about that. But how do we do it statewide when we have parts of our state that are so poor, they have no property tax income coming in, and they've got no way to attract teachers, the buildings are falling down, you know, the old Carter shame thing, which is exactly the opposite of what we have up here in York County. We're pretty good shape up here, but I mean, do you have any specifics?
Yes, sir, and that is a very good question, and I don't have a silver bullet just to go in here and fix our education system. I've agreed to serve in this office for 8 years. That's the longest I'm willing to do it. But if we could get the education system turned around in 8 years, I would consider that just a huge success. But the answers to it is that right now the bureaucrats that make the decisions in the education system are totally unaccountable. They could care less when we go up and talk to them. They could care less when parents come and talk to them. They're just totally unaccountable. So as I said, a part of this has to be passing school choice. And when we put competition into it, then they will have to listen to the people. When they're threatened, well, then they will listen and they will provide the system that we need. And now I need to make a footnote with this. We're not trying at all to hurt the public education system. We can't continue without a great public education system. We're trying to strengthen our public education system. And I'm going to talk to a lot of people, even while I'm going through this campaigning process. I'll bet once a week I'll talk to someone that's in the education field, and they'll give me information or insight that I didn't have previously. So it's going to take a coalition of a lot of people that you got to start with wanting it. So if you can get a coalition of people that want every child to be able to reach their potential and be able to have the education to graduate from school with a functional education and enter the workforce and realize their dreams in the business community while making a contribution to our economy, if we have that common goal, we'll be able to get together and figure out a solution to the problems, what I think.
All right, so as we close out this segment of the program, is there anything we've left that you want to make sure you cover in the next 60 seconds?
Yes, sir. Let me just – I want to point people to an article. This is totally mind-blowing to me, but ever since I've been in this race, there's been this thing mentioned from the Lancaster County Republican Party chairman and my two colleagues that are running from this office in Lancaster, that it has to be someone that lives in Lancaster, that someone from Fort Mill is not able to represent the people in Lancaster County. I don't know if that's just hogwash or BS. I don't know what they're trying to do, but it's totally ludicrous to me. But apparently that is their mindset. So if they believe that someone from Fort Mill is not able to represent the people from Lancaster, what does that say about their mindset of what they intend to do for the people in Fort Mill if they were to get elected? I would refer you to the Lancaster newspaper on May the 20th if you want to look at the complete article. But like I say, I've got an idea. This is just some BS they're throwing against the wall to try to promote their candidate. But if they really do believe that, that's very dangerous, and they should eliminate themselves from consideration. I would if I felt that way.
Tom Nichols, we thank you for being with us. Thank you for throwing your hat into the race to be part of the system and make it work. And he is his name, Tom Nichols. He's the state Senate candidate, one of many, I should say, one of a few, or whatever the number is, for state Senate seat number 16. And that's going to wrap up this segment of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. We hang out every day here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. But to find out how attentive you are, Tom Nichols, there's only one way that we make subs here and salads at Substation 2. It's written right here on the white letters on that shirt, and we say it together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice.
Garden. There you go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Relax. Founders Federal Credit Union is online. Did you know you can view your statements, set up alerts, and even manage your overdraft protection all in Founders Online and the Founders app? Plus, you can do all that without having to leave your home. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich. Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Tom Nichols just cannot stop talking to everybody who's here. He thinks they're all voters in his district, including our next guest, Mary Gail Douglas, who is running for state Senate seat number 17. Yeah, that's right. This is a microphone. Now you have to sit up to there. That's fine. I'm going to turn it on right now, so watch what you say. You about ready? We're ready. You're on the air right now.
Okay, good. Yeah,
hi.
I'm so glad to be here.
I am so glad to be here.
Thank you.
Is he not wild, this guy, Tom Nichols?
He reminds me of some folks that are in Columbia.
Ah. All right, so, Mary Gail, tell me a little bit about you.
Okay. First of all, I'm glad to be here today, and that listening audience. Just want to share with you some things about me.
Yeah.
Lifelong resident of Winnsboro. Invested myself in that community in Fairfield County and in Chester County. So I say that. Background is in nursing.
Oh, really? Good for you.
And I worked at our local hospital for a number of years.
Okay.
Was recruited to be the director of the Council on Aging in Fairfield County. So I did that for 17 years.
Oh, boy.
And did some pretty incredible out-of-the-box kinds of service delivery in that. So that furthered my interest in how government worked. And I used to call it my Easter egg basket. I would go around writing grants to put into my Easter egg basket so that I could fund programs for the folks in Fairfield County who needed to stay at home as opposed to go to nursing homes. So that was just a joy for me, and to be able to see some of those things come to fruition, and just loved my work there. After a number of years there, husband who served in Vietnam and was diagnosed with cancer, I went home to take care of him.
Good for you.
So those years were special and precious to me, but through all of that, I continued to have more voice in our local government, trying to figure out how things worked, what could make it better, how we could collaborate and get a job done. So saying that led me to run for a House seat in 2012.
Okay.
So I served in the House for 6 years. And was defeated in the last term, and I've been home now for 2 years. Still
tired of that, huh?
Well, no, I didn't get tired. I continued. Actually, the governor appointed me to several different task forces and boards for him.
Right.
The latest has been the palliative care board that we did some work on. A study committee was, in fact, I helped sponsor that bill with Ray Felder out of Fort Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And that bill generated the study committee that would come up with ways to address this thing called palliative care.
Gotcha.
Choices that people have in end-of-life decisions. So, anyway, I have been busy.
Okay.
did not leave the State House.
All right.
I
so
continued.
Now you've
okay.
made this decision
okay. made
that
the
you
decision.
Want to jump back. You want to get into the State Senate race, right?
That's correct.
Tell me why.
Oh.
Why do you want to get in it?
I am not satisfied with the representation that we have currently and how things have gone. I can't see that we have benefited very much from our current representation. And I have the belief that if you have the skills to do a job, if you have the leadership ability and gift to give,
right.
to give back,
right.
then you need to step up to the plate, and that's what I preach to my children all the time. So
do you want to give me some specifics about what you are discontented with as far as you want to identify who the current person is? Mr. Fanning, is that what you're talking about?
That is okay. My opponent.
All right. What things?
What things? I think that oftentimes I think of him as being the Lone Ranger. He thinks he can do things by himself. That's not the way it works in our legislative body.
Okay.
I would hope that we would be able to represent and put that party banner down when you go to the State House, because once you're elected, you are representing everybody that's there in your district. And that party drama has got to stop if we're going to make headway in state government and make things work. That gets in the way more than anything that I witnessed while I was on the House side.
Okay. Now, if you are elected, what specifically do you want to jump on? What do you want to work on?
Well, I think now, I mean, of course, the education piece is a huge piece in this state. Huge.
You know, I've been sitting at this
huge.
Table doing this program for 35 years. I have heard every candidate talk to me about education.
Okay.
I'm looking for a unique idea.
Right, a unique idea. And can we get to that in a few minutes? Because I don't want to lose this train of thought.
Go
either.
Ahead.
But as we look at what we're facing now with the COVID, as we look at that bag of money that people saw that we had in reserve, that's going to be eaten alive now.
Oh, yeah. So they've lost at least half of the $1.8 billion projected surplus for the new fiscal year, which starts July 1. Yeah, they've lost at least half.
And people need to be aware of that. This COVID epidemic has cost us something. It has cost us something. And we are truly a blessed state in that we had that reserve.
Yeah.
Most states don't have that to say. So saying that, we will certainly have to address that COVID issue and how it's going to fall out on everything, whether it's education, whether it's health care, whether it is with our Health and Human Services departments that are already lacking. I don't think there's a soul that you could talk to that's in the service delivery business in South Carolina that is funded through the state that would say they didn't need more money. Well,
so,
I think this is going to cause us to really look at the way what we're doing, the way we're doing it, and tighten some of the belts that are there. And
okay. So you're saying that there should be consideration at the state level, South Carolina, for doing something like the federal government has been doing with its PPP program or some of these SBA loan programs in order to get small businesses back up on their feet.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's going to be a major concern.
Okay.
What do we do to help get these small businesses back, to get the tax base back, that we will have the funding that's needed to support?
All right. You mentioned education. I don't want us to run out of time. We got about 2.5-3 minutes left.
Okay.
What about education?
Okay. Education. How do we do it? How do we do things differently? I think we have seen teachers throughout this state step out of the box, step out of their box,
right,
the box that has been drawn for them to create different ways to educate our children.
Right.
I have a daughter-in-law that is a school teacher. The frustrations that come with all of the state mandates that are in place, with the testing, with the children in the size of classroom, and the list goes on and on and on. And what I need to say, too, is that the 4 weeks prior to March 13th, when the pandemic pretty much sent everybody home,
right,
we lost time on that Senate floor, not only for education, but for many, many other things in this state that needed to be addressed. And now we don't know where that stands. That bill could possibly, if it is not addressed in the continuing resolution, if it is not addressed, then we start all over again with those teachers and that bill that was created. And a lot of people don't understand that.
Sure.
So that's where we are. And I know that there are many other things that we could talk about in the way of education. I served on the education committee in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I saw and listened to is the most crucial time for a child in their learning is the kindergarten through third grade.
Oh, yeah.
The third grade is where the testing becomes. So my proposal and my idea was, and this may be way out there, but what if we took the newly graduates out in education and place them into classrooms in kindergarten through third grade with seasoned teachers, and had them to mentor them, we would have a better classroom. And
okay, we've run out of time, Mary Gayle,
you know,
and I'm sorry that we have.
No, it's okay.
Appreciate the conversation. Her name is Mary Gayle Douglas. She's on the Republican ballot for state.
Democratic ballot.
I'm sorry. Pardon
please,
me.
Please,
my
please, please.
Whoa, my mistake.
Please.
Democratic ballot.
Yes.
For state senate seat number 17, and that's going to be an interesting race to run, and we'll have the results, of course, next Tuesday night on WRHI. All right. That'll wrap it up, Mary Gayle. Good luck to you. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And
for
that'll wrap
me
up our Straight Talk program for this Wednesday afternoon, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. More online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Even Ashley Lang knows how to do it. 1, 2, 3. Slice. Garden.
South Carolina's most honored radio station. News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill. W261 CY Rock Hill. The voice of your county.
An OTS media station.